We were perfect missionary material. A teacher, doctor, no kids, went to Kenya to see would God call us overseas? And he didn't. So we were back in Nottingham. And a few years later, I've given up teaching. Sam's given up being a GP. We're running a cleaning company, employing people no one else will employ. We're not making much money. And then COVID comes along. We lose 90% of our work. And we're like, God, you got to come through. Where are you?
Inspiring and equipping you to live the life you're destined to live. This is the Ascend Men podcast.
In this season on Entrepreneurs, you've already had two new presenters, and this week I'm the third, and I'm also the first female voice. I'm Kara Leek. I work as an impact coordinator with our church, C3, here at the Cambridge location. I'm an entrepreneur myself and specialize in social entrepreneurship and impact-based business. Today, I'm talking with serial social entrepreneur Matt Parfit. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Kara, and delighted to be on this episode with the first female host.
Woo! Yes. I know we've kind of crossed circles in the past, and I've always wanted to get to sit and have a conversation, so I'm really excited to chat with you today. We always like to get to know our guests a little bit and ask a few quick-fire questions, so I'd love to ask you a few. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Excluding gospel, what is your favorite musical genre?
Probably house music, as I try and hang on to my youth.
Oh, I love it. Sweet tooth or savory tooth?
Sweet.
And football or rugby?
Football every time.
Every time. Do you have a team?
Yes, Nottingham Forest, hoping they don't get relegated by the time this goes out.
Amazing. Since obviously I know you so well now, we're going to fast forward a little bit and just look at your life up until 2007. So you were born in 1979, grew up in Nottingham, and came to know Christ at the University of Manchester, from where you graduated with a Bachelor of Applied Science in 2001. In March 2002, at England's oldest inn, Ye Old Trip to Jerusalem in Nottingham, you enjoyed your first date with Samantha and married the following year before building a family with a son and two daughters. You had a steady, fulfilling job as a primary school teacher. But one weekend in May of 2007, you decided that wasn't for you. And to your head teacher's consternation, Monday morning, you resigned. So talk us through a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, and I don't know if it'll matter for the story. Like, we had no children at that point. So the children came a bit later.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm 3 years into teaching, and even to go back a year, the year before, I've been to Kenya with my wife. We've seen a church doing amazing things there and seeing people in the area become part of the church and also get a job working for some church businesses. And then I'm back in Nottingham, and yeah, I'm teaching, and I'm seeing people that their lives are being changed, but they just can't get a job, getting really frustrated with God about that and saying someone needs to do something about this. And you can see where this is going. And then, yeah, that was that weekend in May where just getting really annoyed with God, to be honest, and saying someone needs to do something about this. Really felt like he spoke back saying, right, well, you do it then. And so I said, all right, I will. And that's the Saturday. So Monday morning, I'm there handing him a notice. And the head teacher's asking me, firstly, who's poached you? What school are you going to? There aren't many men that teach primary or year one. So it's like, where are you going? I was like, no, I'm not going to another school. Which then leads to the next question in his mind of like, well, what are you doing? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Why are you leaving? You've only been teaching 3 years. And I was saying, I don't know, but I'm going to be an employer. And that's been lots of other things have changed during that time. But the constant over the last 17 years has been to be an employer of people with major barriers to work. So people who've been homeless or struggle with addiction, maybe they've been in prison, refugees. It's creating jobs for people that otherwise can't get them, really believing that supportive employment could be really life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then how did you come into starting the first business? Did you have a trial and error? Was the first one a go? Was it successful?
Yeah, so I had to hand my notice in May to fit in with the teacher calendar. So then I had a few months working out the last bit of the school year and then starting something that summer. And it was very much, it's all about employment. And then okay, fine, what's the vehicle going to be? How am I going to do that? So I quickly rattled through lots of different ideas and settled on gardening. And that was partly because it was something I could do a bit of, no proper experience, but I could cut a lawn, I could cut a hedge. So how hard can it be? And also trying to think, how can I make it as easy as possible to employ people with major barriers? So I didn't want there to be loads of training to be able to be employable, but it was more at its very base level. If I cut a lawn and I cut a hedge, someone else can clear up after me and we'll create a job that way. And also if they didn't turn up for some reason, then I could clear up after myself. And so let's start from there. And then it grew. So God was so faithful over those years. I could tell you stories about people that came along and how we did the first job, but it grew into sort of landscape gardening and driveways and decking and patios. Employed about 35 guys doing that. But again, getting that sense of frustration of, I'm only employing guys, I'm only employing physically fit men, because it's become like a hard day's digging. Someone needs to employ the single mom. Someone needs to employ the former addict who can't do that. And getting a real sense of frustration about, oh, someone needs to do something about this. So you can probably guess what happens next.
Yeah, I was going to say, did that lead you into Radiant Cleaners, your kind of first social enterprise, I guess, that's registered? Or was Fruitful Oaks the first then, would you consider it?
Yeah, so I'd say Fruitful Oaks was their sort of former forerunner.
Yeah.
Sort of business zero. And the reasons for stopping that were because I'd become the bottleneck, really. Mm. And actually, it was quite skilled work. It was quite hard, really. It was people working around me. And it was never to create a job for myself. So I couldn't scale it. So realizing, well, it's not employing a diverse range of people. Also, I haven't really got it past the sort of current team of 5, 6, 7 at any one moment. And thinking, actually, we need to do something simpler. So that also dovetailed with saying to the church, Grace Church in Nottingham, it would be so much more impactful if instead of me doing it on my own, and I'm a fairly nice guy and you can trust me and I'll do a decent job.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be a different level if it's actually, there's a church in Nottingham that are getting their hands and feet dirty, who are an active employer in the city, who are employing people with all these barriers to work, light in the darkness in a difficult industry. Let's go for it and make it work as a business. So it took me 10 years to convince them to say yes to that.
Wow.
But all of these things are coming together. So I'm stopping the gardening. So that died in 2017. Mm-hmm. So it did 10 years.
Okay.
To say, let's start simpler businesses that actually therefore are more scalable and ultimately more replicable and could employ a wider range of people. And so, yeah, that was the birth of Radiant Cleaners in 2017 as our first social enterprise. A social enterprise commercial cleaning company.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about failing or transitioning, because I feel like that's a really difficult topic that not a lot of people really touch on. And so when you're transitioning from Fruitful Oaks into Radiant Cleaners, how did you, I guess, you know, keep your own motivation after maybe it didn't go as you planned and transitioned into something? Did it help just because it was a whole new thing?
Yeah, it is seeing it as learning rather than failing. And it wasn't failing. I was still employing people. I was doing what I said I was going to do. But it was, there's so much more. So I think it was failing to achieve the potential of what could be done.
Hmm.
So for me, I suppose I wasn't stopping it and then going back to teaching. That might have been harder to think through or to deal with. But because it was stopping something to, in my eyes, start something that would be bigger and more scalable, then, yeah, I was really happy to stop. In the same way as people ask me, oh, do you miss the gardening or do you miss teaching? And the answer is no, because I felt called by God out of each of those to go and do a new thing. And therefore, it's pretty easy to say, well, I feel like I'm doing what God's called me to do at any given moment. So that is fine. I think on that journey through from gardening to cleaning and then what we've done next, I've had to go from doing, which is, it was all centered on me in the gardening, to managing in the cleaning. And then with our next couple of business, it's more actually empowering others and then empowering others to empower others now and sort of leading a team and vision. So my leadership journeys had to change each stage. But I'm enjoying it much more than I thought. I'm not someone that holds on too tightly. I'm happy to let it go and let others do things and do it their way and try and cheer them on as best I can.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sometimes hard going from doing the work to managing the work. Do you sometimes wish you would go back and do the stuff? Or are you really pleased with, yeah, where you're at and have peace kind of managing and delegating, empowering others?
Yeah, I think the fact that because we're doing so many different new things, there's always something where I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And so I while I might not be doing in the stuff that's a couple of businesses back, then I still have to get my hands dirty sometimes. And recently, we're not a huge organization. So when our COO, Roger, they just had a baby, him and his wife, which is brilliant, but it also meant that someone else was on holiday and therefore I was back in.
Yeah.
And so taking down a marquee and doing some other work like that reminds me that actually, yeah, I really do like that. And I'm getting older and I don't want to be doing it every day. And
yeah,
and it's hard work, but it gives you a sense of appreciation of everyone else who's doing the work day in, day out. So yeah. The bits I miss, if anything, the bits I miss are the time alongside other people, maybe the time in the van driving together, the talking, the like doing life together, because the actual job meant that we could do. But I also get that I can make more of a difference now from a different position, trying to lead in a different way and getting others and empowering others to do those things. But that's the bit I miss.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, you know, not only have you seen the empowerment of the employees you're onboarding, but also those that have stepped up because you've stepped up. So it's happening on a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
All across the business.
Yeah, it's really satisfying to see people who have come in as cleaners, who are then now working as the operation manager, or even Roger, the COO. And it's like people being able to bring people through and encourage them along the way and maybe like call out the greatness in them. And it's just such a blessing to be surrounded by great people. It makes my job really easy.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about adding multiple companies. So what was the inspiration behind having more than just Radiant Cleaners? And can you talk a bit about the companies that came after Radiant Cleaners?
Yeah, for sure. So the big picture has always been Grace Enterprises.
Yeah.
So we're going to create 7 different businesses, and all of them will be transforming lives through supportive employment in our sustainable businesses. That's what we do. And then how do we do it? Oh, we're going to do that through these different businesses. I don't want to come across as if God speaks to me every day directionally. And it's
sure.
We're talking 10 years between these two events. So 2007, I leave teaching. 2017, have a dream from God. And it's the only dream I've ever had that I would say is from God, but it was absolutely clear. And it was, there's some verses in Isaiah 41. Mm. And it was this dream about there being life in the desert, but not just any old life. It goes on to name these 7 different trees of all different shapes and sizes that actually, it turns out, are impossible to grow together because they need different soil types and pH and humidity and water. But this had this, it was really, really clear that this was meant to be 7 different businesses of different shapes and sizes, each supporting their own little ecosystem and life, looking different to the others, but actually doing something of diversity. And I would argue really, really strongly that different businesses create different jobs for different people. People ask all the time, why don't you just scale Radiant Cleaners if it's working? Why don't you scale the second thing if it's working? And so the 3 businesses we have so far are Radiant Cleaners, commercial cleaning company, Jubilee Events, which is a marquee hire company. So weddings, corporate events, and then Half the Stories, the most recent one, our biscuit business. So if you're hearing it as cleaning, marquees, biscuits, that sounds like a really strange combination and people can't predict what we're going to do next. Whereas I would see it as it's about transforming lives, through supportive employment. And the people who are cleaning today are different to the people who are putting up a marquee this weekend, who are different to those that are baking biscuits in a bakery environment. So different businesses create different jobs. So of course we want to do that. We want to see people, we want to be able to give jobs to loads of different people, not say you all suit gardening or cleaning or marquees or biscuits. So that would be some of the heart of it. Even if we could grow the biggest whatever company in the world, we'd still do the others because it will create different jobs.
Yeah. And that's the difference fundamentally in going into social entrepreneurship. So many companies start with, not only are they solving problems, but actually they're just driving profit. And or they're trying to scale into a really large space. But actually, if we funnel all of that through people and need, it creates an entirely different strategy and a different path. And I think it's not one, I don't feel that it's one that's in education very much, especially having, you know, gone to university. I wasn't taught that strategy. I wasn't taught how to scale in that way. So it feels like I've sort of had to start from scratch and build my own path on how to look at something. I was always taught, you know, an entrepreneur sees a problem and creates a solution and makes money off of it. And that's one way to look at it. But it's also just, you could see a problem, you could empower something, and then it actually gives dividends more than money can, because it does something holistically to the person involved. And so it can reshape a family, it can reshape a generation, not just put more money in people's pockets. Because, you know, for years we've had profit-driven businesses, and while obviously they create a lot of value, they lack in so many other ways that we're still finding a lot of gaps and issues that exist. So these businesses do something a little bit more unique and a little bit more dynamic than other straightforward for-profit companies.
Yes. And for us, as we think about what will our next business be, it won't be, it needs to be sustainable for sure.
Yeah.
But actually we won't start from, there's this gap in the market and we could do this and we can make this profit. Mm-hmm. We'll be the other way around, saying, what is the social problem we're trying to solve? Maybe that's the underemployment of wheelchair users, or that modern slavery survivors haven't got jobs, or whatever that demographic is. Does this next business create different jobs for different people? Because if it doesn't, we may as well not bother.
Exactly.
We could just carry on doing what we're doing. But what we want to see is that diversity. So does it create different jobs? What social problem is it going to solve? Clearly needing to find a business solution so it's sustainable. But it would be that way round, starting from what difference would this business make in the world, rather than how much money can we make from a new idea that someone's not thought of yet.
Yeah. And I guess, so how do you measure success in these social enterprises? Obviously, they have the common thread of solving that problem. But do they have their individual definitions of success? Is it just Grace Enterprises holds the same definition of success? How does that work when you have multiple working at one time?
We treat our businesses the same. So they're all paying the real living wage, for example, to everybody. They are all about creating jobs for people with major barriers to work. So in our annual impact report, it'll be, how many jobs did it create? How many hours were worked? What kind of people did we manage to employ? And our ultimate bottom line would be that, like, look at these lives that have been transformed through work.
Yeah.
So that's the people line. There'll also be a profit line saying, look, the only way of doing it sustainably will be for it to work. It's not our top priority. That's written into our articles, but we won't be around long if it doesn't work. So therefore, actually, we'll be people first. So that's how we would see the sort of the significance. It won't be a financial success. They'll have to go together to whatever degree, but we would always, every board meeting for us starts with, here, a people report rather than a, what are the financials like? Because if we're not employing different people, if we're not seeing lives change, we may as well pack up and go home.
Yeah.
Like, we're not in it to make money. There are lots of money questions to follow, because otherwise those jobs aren't sustainable. But actually, it's, if we're not changing the lives, then it's not doing what it's meant to do. There are loads of companies out there that are well run, that are making a profit, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're about. We're saying, are we transforming lives through supportive employment? Yes or no? How can we do more of that? And then let's make sure the finances will back that up.
Yeah. With growing into 7 different businesses, what is the biggest risk of that expansion that you see?
People will often ask me, am I going to end up spread too thin?
Hmm.
And so let's say for now, that's one of the risks, that we might end up trying to do too many things too fast and not doing any of them properly. They all fall over. So what I'm not saying is, in this timescale of 7 years, we're going to do 7 businesses and I'm going to run them all.
Yeah,
absolutely not. So it'd be, that's what I believe God said. So I'm running with it for now. If it turns out that it wasn't and I was wrong, then so be it.
Yeah.
But this is where we think we're headed. And also, it's not all about, there's no timescale. So it'd be like on God's timescale. So that might be quicker or slower than we think it might be. Yeah. So actually, and I'm surrounded by trustees. Yeah. So actually not making hasty decisions of like, here's this new shiny thing, I think it's a good idea, let's go for it. But actually being wise and discerning and trying to work out how's the best way to do it. I mean, we don't have the capacity to do that. So we're trusting in God for the next business with the right leader, with the right finance at the right time. And I don't know who that leader will be, what the idea will be, when it will be. We don't have any of those things. So if it's down to me, the only thing I would probably have is a few ideas.
Yeah.
But actually, if it's down to me, it won't happen. Whereas if it's a God thing, of course it will happen. And so that's been our story so far. Three businesses in, they've all started different ways. The money's come from different places. They've had different leaders. And so it's a joy from that point of view to think we're on this adventure and who's God going to bring along next to do what and when? It's like, I don't know, but it'll be exciting to find out. And that's the adventure we're on. We think we know where we're going, big picture.
Yeah.
We don't really know how we're going to get there and in what order, but I don't think I need to know. I see that as when someone say to me, well, how do you sleep at night?
Yeah.
On paper, I'm running a charity and three businesses. Well, that sounds like quite a lot already. And I'm talking about four more. Well, yeah, okay, fine. And the answer to that would be, well, because I just don't see it as my responsibility, what comes next. As in, if we're going to do it, God needs to come along and give us the right people with the right timing, with the right idea and the resources to do it. In which case, of course, it will work because it's a God thing. And I'm gradually stepping back from, say, Radiant Cleaners, the first one, Jubilee Events, the second. They don't really need me anymore. We've got better people than me and they're running them. They're growing, thriving. And probably the biggest success of last year was not that we started a third business, which would people would see as the headline, but actually that I hardly had anything to do with Radiant Cleaners or Jubilee Events.
Yeah.
And they both grew.
Wow.
So whether that is trying to bring other leaders through and actually getting the right environment so that they can thrive, that's probably the thing I've, like, what are you most proud of last year? Would probably be that.
Yeah.
That actually, rather than it's just, I can make something work, well done me, and now I've taken my eye off the ball, the first two have fallen over, never mind. But actually, to build something sustainable that really thrives, it needs a team of people, it needs people who are better than me to do stuff. And so it's a joy when God brings them along. And that's when handing over is easy.
Yeah.
When you can see that Roger and with Becca and with Stuart, they can run with stuff, and Catherine now, they can do a better job than me. And if I can help to bring about the resources and cast vision to make it happen in the first place, and then support them to really develop it and grow it, then that's how we might get to seven.
That's amazing. And it takes so much more, I think, time and energy to want to cultivate a culture within Grace Enterprises that does that rather than it spinning around you. And it takes, obviously, learned lessons of your first enterprise that this is not it. This is not working. This has to be, something has to give. Do you have a leader that you are really inspired by, that maybe you listen to their podcast, or is it a coach? Is it someone that you read their books, someone that's inspired or encouraged you in this journey?
Yeah, quite a few different people. I'm so blessed in so many ways. I'm not on my own trying to make it up as I go along, although it does sometimes feel like it. But like a podcast, I really love the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast from America.
Yeah.
A book, I'm a massive fan of John Blakey and his sort of trusted executive and leadership books. Brilliant. I've got a spiritual guy around me, like Martin, who tries to hold me to account of like, how you doing as a husband? How you doing as a dad? How you doing with your walk with God? Because
yeah,
at the end of the day, the rest of it doesn't really matter. If I fall off in those three areas, then we're in big trouble. And I've got James, a brilliant coach who like just gives his time so generously to help me. So I'm surrounded by just loads of people cheering me on and a prayer support group. So yeah, all of those people I've got so much time for and just really grateful that God's built that team around us.
Yeah, I was going to ask a little bit earlier, I'm glad you reminded me to say this, when your job, however be it, and your faith are so deeply intertwined, it's really challenging. That's something I've kind of come across too as well, is it's like my everyday livelihood, and having faith in what God's going to do when people are looking to me, it can be a bit of a struggle to detach, you know, my spiritual health from that and just spend time with God. What could you say to people that struggle with that, or just are looking for ways to make sure their faith doesn't get too intertwined within their job?
Yeah, and for us, it's even harder because our office is inside the church building.
Yeah.
These businesses started with the church, and the church leader, Ben, is my best friend. So it's like, and going to church on Sunday, trying to say to people, can we not have a conversation about work?
About biscuits.
Yeah, and I get why, like, we've got church, we're in front of each other right now, but it's like, how is this a chance for me to actually spend time with God, or is it just an extra work day?
Yeah.
It is really difficult. And I think a lot of grace needs to be shown on all sides to try and make it work. And ultimately, spending that time on your own with God. Next week, I get to go on a little retreat for a couple of days with others. And I'll find that really energizing with like Christian business leaders, things like that. I find are really important to have those planned in the year, maybe a couple of times a year.
Yeah,
that makes a huge difference. I've got a local like Kingdom business group that we meet up with weekly online or monthly in person. And again, having other Christians that are doing a similar journey to bounce ideas off. But I think really it probably is in that quiet place on your own and also checking your heart, because I haven't got it nailed. Like there are definitely times where I'm thinking about my identity might get tied up with it all and success and, oh, look, it's going quite well. Or if it's going badly, what does that mean about me and about the call? And sure. Like, how have I messed this up? And I've done it all in God's name. And it's like, oh, but that idea of like, look, it's either God's plan or it's not. And if I'm going to try and pull it off, it's not going to work. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And if I get the joy of helping to start it and being part of it and leading it for now, then that's brilliant. And I'll enjoy my part on that roller coaster adventure. But let's not get too hung up on it being about me and me being the center of it all. Then we're all at risk and it'll all fall apart. But it is tricky, isn't it? Identity and job,
yeah,
and church and faith all being tied in.
Yeah, I feel like it's a constant balance. It's a constant check-in every day. Well, we like to make sure that the listeners can apply something from each of the episodes. So is there anything that you want to leave with them as an application?
For me, it would be about how much almost do you really believe in God? Like, if God's real and God speaks, then what is he saying to you? And would you take him at his word if you thought it was God?
Yeah.
And so for us, it's been like, I'm absolutely convinced God's real and he's spoken and he's just spoken to me. So we're going to really go for it and trust in him to come through. Because I think there are so many people with so many great ideas and some God ideas that just don't do it because it's a bit risky. But actually, that's where the faith gap comes in, and God can do it. Like, God's got deep enough pockets. He's got enough resources. He can make stuff happen. And if he's calling you to do it, then like, go for it. Or else he'll call someone else to do it and do it a different way. And you'll be the one that it'll still happen.
Yeah.
But you miss out on the adventure and like a journey of being all in and really following Jesus to live life in all its fullness.
Yeah. Speaking of ideas from our listeners, you guys, we heard about Matt's third business, Half the Story, which is the most delicious biscuits. I have tried them. I honestly just tried the plain ones and they were really, really good. But for the first 10 of you that have some good, sensible business suggestions on this week's Ascend Group Facebook post, go ahead and put them in the comments. God dreams, God ideas, there's never a wrong moment. There are seeds. And if you have some of those seeds, just honestly, go and comment on this post. The first 10 of you to do it will win a pack of these amazing Half the Story biscuits. So take time to do that after the podcast. Matt, thank you for inspiring us today. Truly, it's been amazing to hear from you and to chat through all of your different endeavors, and just your faith has been really inspiring to me as well, hearing this. Who wouldn't want to see your next four businesses and your vision of seven? I love that it comes from Isaiah 41. I was so happy when you said that was the scripture. I knew that that's where it was going. And I thought, that's awesome. And also, if you have a direct line to dreams from God, would really appreciate some of that. And for those who might want to invest or contribute in other ways to Grace Enterprises, we'll put your contact details in the show notes. C3 is looking into social enterprise currently as well. We'd love to get on board. I'm a huge believer in just the church being able to see the city in a way that brings light into dark places, like you were saying. And so we are really praying into this space, and it's something that I don't know how it's going to look in the end, but I do have faith that God has placed me here and for such a time as this. And so we just step in obedience, right? Every day we just wake up and we say, okay, I'm doing this for you. How can I be obedient? And if you would like to see C3 do something in this space, reach out to me, Kara Leek. Again, my details are in the show notes and will be in this week's email. But thank you so much for your time, Matt. It's been a real privilege to get to chat to you today.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you so much for having me on. And it's been a really great conversation. And yeah, I look forward to seeing people people who want to connect, do get in touch.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear what comes out of it. It'll be exciting to see what God does through people.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
That's it for this Ascend Men podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, please share it with a mate. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Together, we are stronger.